Welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and this morning I'm joined by Linda Carlisle. It's Saturday, April 13th, 2024. In this episode, we'll talk about the destruction of the largest power plant serving Kyiv, and the concerns about Ukraine's defense against Russian airstrikes, Apple's bug suggesting the Palestinian flag emoji when searching for Jerusalem, the passing of renowned author Maris Conde, and her impact on literature, former U.S. Fed boss Ben Bernanke's criticism of the Bank of England, and China's support to Russia's defense industry amid the conflict in Ukraine. Story number one. The largest power plant serving Kyiv was destroyed, raising concerns about Ukraine's ability to counter Russian airstrikes. Ukrainian military personnel are facing a dire situation with a shortage of weapons and soldiers. Russia is advancing in eastern Ukraine, targeting towns and cities. Republicans in Congress have blocked security aid for Ukraine, allowing Russia to regain the offensive. Ukraine's defense is at risk without U.S. support. Russia is expected to have a significant advantage in artillery shells. Ukrainian forces are fighting to maintain gains and defend key areas. The town of Chasiv Yar is under threat from Russian forces, with strategic importance for launching drone attacks. According to Washington Post, do you see how strategic geography plays into warfare, Linda? Take Chasiv Yar, for example. Its geographical features, like the high ground, make it a prime spot for launching drone attacks. It's almost like playing a real-life game of chess, where the topography of the land becomes the board.
It's also critical to remember that the canal running through the eastern edge of Chasiv Yar acts as a sort of natural boundary. It presents a hindrance for advancing vehicles, but is passable by infantry. This aspect of the terrain becomes a pivotal point in the strategic planning and execution of military operations.
It's fascinating and a bit disquieting to see how even the smallest geographical detail can turn into a significant strategic advantage or disadvantage. If we think back to historic battles, many of them were won or lost based on an army's understanding and use of the terrain.
Knowledge of the landscape is vital not only during the actual conflict, but also in the planning stage. It influences where to position troops, where to establish defensive lines, and how to plan attacks. And in the modern era, technology plays an increasing role in mapping and understanding these geographical features.
Right you are, Linda. Modern warfare has seen the rise of technology like drones and satellite imagery to provide detailed and up-to-date information on the battlefield. But as we see in Ukraine, traditional aspects of geography still have a significant role to play.
And beyond the battlefield itself, geographical advantages can also influence international politics. Nations with strategic geographical features can leverage them for diplomatic or military gains. It's a multifaceted issue with implications far beyond the immediate conflict.
Story number two. Apple is working to fix a bug in its iOS software that suggests the Palestinian flag emoji when users search for Jerusalem in the emoji keyboard. The company acknowledged the issue and is planning to release a fix in the next update. The bug upset some users on social media, with one questioning if it was intentional. Apple stated it was a mistake and not intentional. The cause of the bug was not elaborated on, but it may be related to machine learning technology. The history of Jerusalem's territorial claims is complex, with Israel considering it its capital and much of the international community recognizing it as Israel-occupied Palestinian territory. The bug is seen as adding to tensions amid the ongoing conflict. According to CNN, this issue has sparked controversy. Is it just me, Linda, or are we seeing technology stepping into a minefield here? It's clear that Apple's algorithm has caused quite a stir with this flag emoji bug, but I'm not entirely convinced it's their fault. Predictive algorithms are largely based on user behavior data, and it's possible that this is just a reflection of what's happening in the real world.
That's an interesting viewpoint, Mark, but I see it from a different angle. Regardless of the reason behind this bug, it's evident that the outcome has serious implications. As a tech giant, Apple has a responsibility to ensure its predictive technology isn't seen as taking a stand in such politically sensitive issues. It's not just about reflecting user behavior data, it's about considering the global impact of their technology.
I see where you're coming from, Linda, and I do agree that tech companies have a certain degree of responsibility, but it's hard to, predict every possible outcome when you're dealing with machine learning. It's not a person making these decisions. It's an algorithm based on data input.
That's true, Mark. But that's precisely why companies like Apple need to be more transparent about how these algorithms work. We need to understand the logic behind these unexpected outcomes. It's not enough to say it's just a machine.
I see what you're getting at. Transparency could indeed help in alleviating such situations. But isn't it also a bit like, I don't know, asking a magician to reveal their tricks? The tech world is competitive, after all.
Perhaps, Mark, but when the magic trick leads to public outcry and potential geopolitical tensions, I'd say it's time we saw behind the curtain.
Story number 3. In a report from The Guardian, Maris Conde, a renowned author who passed away at the age of 90, wrote about race, gender, and colonialism in a globalized world. Her career spanned 5 decades, and she rejected labels, stating, "I write in Maris Conde." She explored complex themes in her novels, often focusing on families and women. Conde's life was marked by personal challenges, including being a single mother and experiencing racism. She found happiness in her marriage to Richard Philcox, with whom she had a supportive literary partnership. Conde was a respected academic and was appointed by the French president to lead the Committee for the Memory of Slavery. She received several prestigious awards for her work and was known for her generosity in mentoring younger authors. This is a significant loss to the literary world. Maris Conde was a trailblazer exploring themes of race, gender, and colonialism in a way few authors have been able to. She refused to be pigeonholed into any one category, stating she wrote in Maris Conde, which speaks to her unique and fearless voice.
I agree, Mark. Her contributions were indeed substantial. But I think we need to scrutinize the power structures that kept her voice and the voices of other marginalized authors on the periphery for so long. It's not just about Conde's individual brilliance, but about the systemic barriers that she and many others had to overcome.
I understand where you're coming from, Linda. But isn't it also about her individual resilience and determination? She began her literary career in her 40s, as a mother of 4, and despite the challenges she faced, she became a beacon in the world of literature.
That's true, Mark. But focusing only on her individual achievements can detract from the larger issues at play. It's not just about one person overcoming adversity, but about creating an environment where everyone, regardless of their background, has the opportunity to thrive.
I see your point, Linda. But I think it's also important to celebrate individual achievements and the inspiration they provide. Conde's work has undoubtedly paved the way for other authors to express their experiences of intersectionality in a globalized world.
I'm not denying her influence. But it's equally important to address the systemic issues that made her journey so difficult in the first place. It's not enough to just tell these stories. We need to actively work towards creating a more inclusive and equitable literary landscape.
Story number 4. Former U.S. Fed boss Ben Bernanke criticized the Bank of England for failing to admit mistakes and change course in a recent report, as reported by The Guardian. He highlighted the bank's outdated methods and lack of clear communication with the public, leading to poor forecasting of inflation and interest rates. Bernanke recommended 12 changes to improve the bank's forecasting accuracy and decision-making processes. The Bank of England has accepted the recommendations and begun overhauling its IT systems and economic modeling. Governor Andrew Bailey acknowledged the need for a more adaptable approach in the face of global economic uncertainty. Bernanke also criticized the bank's reliance on financial market forecasts and suggested a more transparent communication of the MPC's decision-making process to the public. Are we surprised here, Linda? I mean, it's been a rocky road for central banks around the world. This report by former U.S. Federal Reserve boss Ben Bernanke is indeed a wake-up call for the Bank of England, don't you think? He basically accuses them of using outdated methods and failing to communicate clearly with the public. It's like they're in a constant battle to justify their poor judgment rather than admitting their failures and changing course. What's your take on this?
It's a hard pill to swallow, but necessary. Let's remember, monetary policy has a direct impact on people's lives, from the price of groceries to the cost of a mortgage. So, this isn't just about the Bank of England's reputation. It's about trust and transparency. Bernanke's criticism is telling us that it's high time central banks reevaluate their forecasting methods, and more importantly, their communication strategies, especially during these volatile times. Inflation soared throughout 2022, peaking in November at 11.1%. That's unprecedented.
True, Linda. And then there's this accusation of excessive incrementalism. The Bank of England was the first to react to rising inflation when it began raising interest rates in December 2021. But Bernanke thinks they didn't act fast enough, especially in the summer of 2022, when sanctions against Russian oil and gas and a blockade of Ukrainian wheat triggered a dramatic rise in the cost of energy and food. Other central banks moved swiftly, but not the Bank of England.
Yes, Mark. And that could have significant implications for the economy. It's like trying to catch a runaway train. Once it's gone, it's gone. And the delay in action could have long-lasting effects, particularly for the average citizen who is already grappling with the effects of inflation. It's a tough situation, and it's clear that central banks worldwide need to rethink their strategies, and perhaps even their fundamental approach to monetary policy.
Absolutely. And speaking of rethinking, Bernanke is suggesting that the Bank of England needs to revamp its IT systems and models to improve the forecasting of inflation and interest rates. He's put forward 12 recommendations. It's a tall order, but it sounds like the bank's governor, Andrew Bailey, is up for the challenge. He's calling it a once-in-a-generation opportunity. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it all pans out.
It's an opportunity for evolution and growth. Admitting mistakes and changing course might be a difficult step, but it's a necessary one. This is not just about the Bank of England. It's a message to central banks worldwide. We're living in unprecedented times, and the old ways might not work anymore. It's a call to be more transparent, more communicative, and more responsive. It's a call for a more inclusive and empathetic monetary policy that takes into account the realities of the average citizen.
Story number 5. In a report from CNN, China is providing significant support to Russia's defense industry, including machine tools, drones, and technology for weapons production. This support is helping Russia's military expansion during the conflict in Ukraine. The U.S. is urging China to stop aiding Russia, but so far there has been no interruption in support. U.S. officials are concerned about the impact of this partnership on the conflict in Ukraine and are working to address the issue. Tell you what, Linda, this news about China helping Russia to expand its military-industrial base reminds me of some Cold War dynamics. It's like a rerun of an old movie, where countries are lining up behind their preferred superpower, supplying them with whatever they need to keep the fight going.
I agree, Mark. It does have a sense of déjà vu. However, it's important to remember the context. During the Cold War, it was largely ideological battles being fought through proxies. Here, we're seeing two countries, Russia and China, forming a strategic alliance that's based more on mutual benefits and shared goals, particularly in relation to challenging U.S. dominance.
Yeah, you're right. And the scale of it is just massive. Russia's undertaking its most ambitious expansion in military manufacturing since the Soviet era. China is supplying significant quantities of machine tools, drone and turbojet engines, and technology for cruise missiles, microelectronics, nitrocellulose for weapons propellant. I mean, it's not just a case of China giving Russia a helping hand. It's a major overhaul of their military capabilities.
Yes, and this is having a significant effect on the ground in Ukraine. It's augmenting Russia's ability to continue its assault, while Ukraine is struggling with equipment and weapon shortages. This is further exacerbated by the U.S. Congress's inability to pass a new military aid package for Ukraine.
Speaking of the U.S., it's clear that they're trying to persuade China to stop aiding Russia. I mean, Biden raised his concerns about China's support for Russia's defense industrial base in a phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping. But it seems like China is pretty much ignoring these warnings so far.
Yes, Mark. It does seem that way. It's a complex situation. On one hand, there's the moral argument of not supporting a country that's waging an aggressive war. On the other hand, there are real politic considerations. China may see a stronger Russia as a counterbalance to U.S. power, or as a useful distraction while it pursues its own strategic objectives.
True, true. And let's not forget the role of technology in all of this. I mean, it's not just about guns and tanks anymore. China is helping Russia to improve its satellite and other space-based capabilities, providing imagery for its war on Ukraine. These tech transfers are shifting power balances and changing how wars are fought.
And it's not just about the here and now. The repercussions of this deepened China-Russia partnership could be felt for years to come, in ways that we can't fully predict. It's a stark reminder of the convergence of technology, military power, and geopolitics in the 21st century.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.